Okay, you told me that you'd started working at the hospital and how you had done that. Did times tend to get easier as your job went on?
No. Your job don't get easier. If you're smart, you make it easier. If you're smart. Now, if you want to be what they call a BL, it's called a butt licker. If you want to be that, your job never, never, never gets easier. But if you want to stand up one day to whatever is happening, then you can bring it and make it easier.
Right.
I started off 40 years ago. Every time I turned around, they was asking me, how about starting to do this? How about, I was in radiology, x-ray. They said to me, hey man, won't you come up here and start doing laboratory? I started doing laboratory. I did laboratory when cross matches, blood cross matches, only was so simple that I took your blood. We used to have a surgery, and they would say, we're going to need some blood for this surgery. And I would take the type of blood from this patient that says O positive. And I would call an employee O positive, and I would take his blood. Then I would cross a simple thing with plasma. It was a very simple. And I would say, okay, this blood matches. And we'd give this blood. We never had a problem with that blood. Never. Never. And now today they run it through all kind of a rhesus monkeys factors. Truly. We never had a bad transaction there. Never.
Okay. Well, as you was working and you were young and married, did Florence have a job as well?
Yeah.
Tell me what she did.
She worked at the hospital where I worked for a few years as an HST.
Right.
And later on, she went to work at a local place where they made Brazils. I can't think of the name of it now, but they made them.
Playtex.
And so she worked there for many years.
Right.
And then the place closed, and she was at an age that she could retire. So she retired, and her retirement was $3,500. That's all it was. So they sent it to her. She had no choice.
All right.
And then my little girl had a vision. She said, Gene, let's open up us a factory outlet over here. And she started having a yard sale in the yard. She realized that, hey, I'm good. And then she laid on, and I went and bought us a trailer and put it in the yard. She opened it up, and I built onto it, and it wound up to be 56 feet long. And it was a terrible success.
That's very, very good. Tell me a little bit more about the store. Tell me how it got started and what all went on. I'd like to know a little bit more about it.
The store was a success simply back, when those was about 10, 12, 14 years ago. Walmart wasn't so on every corner. And she started this business, and we put a marquee out front. And I fully believe that this one thing, if anybody wants a successful business, would be this. Don't put a sign up and say it's 40% off. This is terrible. Put a sign up and says bedspread $12.50. You see?
Right.
Don't put a sign up and say men's suits 85% off. Put up a sign that says men's suits $55. You see?
Right.
And that's one thing that added to her success. And there's one more thing that added to her success. And that's being a good business person.
Absolutely.
She made a person feel that they were wanted.
Right. Okay. Well, how did you become interested in music?
My boy, music has always been the topic of my interest. Back on the early days of the farm, when the whippoorwill called, I heard music. When the wagon wheel squeaked, I heard music. When Mama called me, boy, I heard music. Nothing has ever been but music.
Right. When did you actually start writing your songs and trying to produce them?
I started a country band, and we played for 7 years at a local place. And the experience was nothing that I would never forget. It was great. It was down. And most of the time I had to do my own bouncing. But it was something. And it will be never forgotten. Okay.
How did you get involved with Chet Atkins?
Okay, Chet Atkins, I met a man named Jeff Hill. If I had listened to Jeff Hill 10 years before I did, you know, when I was playing all those years around, there was many, many, many people came to me and said, "Hey, baby, give me some of your stuff and I'll help you." It was all in vain. But this one man, he wasn't kidding. If I had listened to him earlier, it would have been better. Mm-hmm. I gave him a tape with 8 songs on it. He sent it up to Nashville. Within the next week, they informed us that they were going to give us publication on 6 of the 8 songs. Fantastic. And what we later found out went up, Jim Atkins. A lot of people don't know Chet had a brother named Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Atkins was the one that was running the publishing company at that time. And Jim was opening a new publishing company. And when I got there, believe it, oh God, this is almost unbelievable. He had my 6 songs stacked on his desk, words and music put to it, ready for copyright, waiting for my signature. It was unbelievable.
Right.
Gosh.
That's great. So, whatever happened to music? Why aren't you involved with it as much now? And why did you quit then?
No, I didn't quit. Chet Atkins and I, he was invited to the state of Georgia, Chet Atkins Day. They had a Chet Atkins Day in the state of Georgia.
Right.
And he came up, and Jimmy Carter was then the president, I mean the governor. And Chet invited me. So the two of us, we went up, and we was the guest of the governor for the weekend. And needless to say, the first time I've ever ridden in a state patrol car, and didn't have on the
handcuffs.
That's right. But I rode in it, and Chet and I rode in it. You know, we had a state patrol escort, and we rode in it, and we stayed up at the hotel. And then we later during the day we performed for the governor. Then was Jimmy Carter, and that was a pretty good highlight.
Right. How did it all end?
Well, it never was an end to it. Standing in the Capitol that day, Chet Atkins said to me, we had a record out at that time called Boca Bottom Love In, and it was really taking over the South. And I said, Chet, what are you going to do with this Boca Bottom? He said, I'm going to talk to RCA when I get back, and we're going to push it. But during the time that we was having lunch, he gave me his drink, which was a Bloody Mary. He said, drink it. I said, you don't want it? He said, no. I said, why? He said, I'm sick. And when Chet got back to Nashville, Tennessee, he checked into the hospital, and he had cancer of the colon. A lot of people don't know this. It was never nationally known. And then Chet felt like, as the old routines go, it'll reoccur itself in 1 to 5 years. And so they told him that. And he stopped all of his present positions and also stopped me.
Right.
But then nothing happened in 5 years, and so you can understand now, Chester is beginning to make a comeback. He realizes, man, I'm not going to die. Yeah. He's doing good. He's coming back.
That's good. Are you continuing to write music? And
Yes. I feel them all the time. I've written 2 songs recently for my son. He's a minister. And I felt them, the song. I have to feel something. If I don't feel it, I can't write it. And I got to feeling it. He started telling me words. And I began to put the words together. He began to talk about God wakes him up in the morning. I began to put all the words together. And it was real easy to write song, being as he actually gave it to me in words. And now I'm going to retire soon. And this is how I hope to break my monotony, with writing songs, commuting to Tennessee, and doing whatever I can for the Songwriting Association.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate everything. I appreciate the interview, and I thank you very much. I had a very good time, and I hope you did too. Thank you.
Thank you.